Well, financial analysts here and around the world have been watching this Evergrande crisis unfold in Beijing. Shayne Oliver is the Head of Investment Strategy and Chief Economist at AMP Capital. Shayne, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
Today is a critical one for the Evergrande Group. It's supposed to make this payment of $155 million on an overseas bond. If it makes that, and it says it will, is it crisis averted or is it crisis averted just for a moment?
I'd say it's more a case of the latter. The reality is that China, that Evergrande Group still owes a massive, massive amount of debt. It doesn't have a lot of cash sitting in the bank, and it's going to have problems with future interest payments, even if it does make today's payment. So I still think this issue will remain for a little while yet. Ultimately, I think there'll be some sort of resolution for the simple reason that China cannot afford a Lehman moment. It has seen what happened in the US when that occurred. It certainly doesn't want the sort of contagion flowing through the Chinese economy that we saw 13 years ago in relation to Lehman Brothers.
So when you say it won't be allowed to happen, what will happen?
Well, I think ultimately there'll be some sort of restructuring arrangement. I wouldn't necessarily call it a full-on bailout, but I think it will be some sort of restructuring, maybe encouraging other property developers to take on a big chunk of Evergrande's business, maybe a combination of measures to help spread out the interest burden through time. But the key will be ultimately to keep lenders on side such that we don't see a situation where credit to property developers in China dries up, but more importantly, to avoid some sort of fire sale. I mean, there's various estimates. A rough estimate is that Evergrande Group has unfinished properties equivalent to about three quarters the amount of the property space in Manhattan. So there's a massive amount of property that it's yet to sell. If that's dumped at fire sale prices, then it could crash the property market, obviously impacting other developers. And the big problem there, of course, is that Chinese, like many Australians, do a lot of their savings through the property market. So they don't want to see a crash in property prices. So yes, China wants more affordable property, but by the same token, it doesn't want to crash the property market or property prices in the process. So I think ultimately there'll be some sort of arrangement here. It won't necessarily bail out the current management at Evergrande Group that's fallen out of favour, but I think ultimately that's the more likely scenario.
I'll come back to the implications of the fire sale again in a moment, but as Matt told us, Evergrande is China's second largest developer, $300 billion estimated liabilities. Investors and multinational institutions have repeatedly warned about the dangers posed by rising levels of Chinese debt. How did such a large company land in so much debt? How was this allowed to happen?
Well, that's a good question, but the simple answer is that they had a property boom that went on for many, many years. Massive gains in property prices, a pattern of buying up property, building large-scale sky-rise apartments on it, and then selling them to people who, I guess we've got this urbanisation of the Chinese economy as people move from rural settings into city settings. And so against that backdrop, there's always going to be risks like this sort of thing occurring. It's occurred in Australia's history in the past. It's part and parcel of the way things work out. But the problem is, I guess, that they thought the music would go on forever. The Chinese authorities for some time, many years now, have been warning against too much debt, trying to do something about making property more affordable. And of course, Xi Jinping has got more aggressive on that front. He wants to see common prosperity. One of the biggest barriers to common prosperity is excessive property prices. And so, unfortunately, Evergrande Group has found itself with simply too much debt, and that's bumping up against the social objectives of the Chinese government. Evergrande Group has also expanded beyond its knitting, so to speak, into a whole bunch of other things. It's apparently owns a soccer team. It's bought theme parks, electric vehicles. So it's gone into a whole bunch of things, and that's, I guess, also seen it go out of favour to some degree with the Chinese authorities, simply because they felt that, well, it's just gone into all this other stuff, but it's got all this debt in the process,
Sure. I
which is
mean,
not helpful.
diversifying is, I suppose, not necessarily a bad thing if the property market's under pressure. But let's talk about the potential of this to be China's Lehman Brothers moment. It's right now, as you've described, primarily a domestic problem for China, but we could see other property developers fall if the demand for new housing keeps plummeting. Is there a risk of financial contagion across economies and here in Australia, Shane?
Look, there certainly is a risk here, and that is why global financial markets have been on edge the last few days. We have seen a little bit of stabilisation in the last day or so, but we did see a 4% fall on Wall Street up until about yesterday. And then, of course, we've seen about a 5% fall in Australian shares. And, of course, since then, we've seen a bit of a bounce on relief that maybe they'll make this interest payment today. Mm. But that contagion risk is there. I wouldn't overstate the exposure of Western banks to China, to Evergrande Group. I think that's relatively modest. When you look at most of them, it's a relatively modest exposure. The amount of money owed by Evergrande in its offshore market, that's to foreign investors, is about $20 billion. When Lehman Brothers went bust, it went bust with about $150 billion worth of debt. So it's not massive in that sense. The real risk is that it causes problems within China, such that lenders lose confidence in lending to property, and that, of course, has a flow-on effect to the Chinese economy, forced sales by other property developers, and then a sharp fall in the property market, all leading to a slowdown or a sharp fall in the Chinese economy. And because China is like 25% of the global economy, obviously a big impact on global growth. So
and specifically, Shane, would come specifically globally. Shane, if the housing market has slowed, new houses aren't being built at the same rate, that means less iron ore. We've already seen the iron ore price plummet. Is that a direct response to the collapse in new housing demand so far in China?
It certainly is. The iron ore price was already under pressure because it had gone too high in the first place. It was starting to correct. The Chinese authorities had put brakes on steel production for climate control reasons or carbon emission control reasons. And then, of course, these Evergrande concerns have added to the pressure in the last couple of weeks. Now, of course, if the Chinese property market goes backwards in terms of property construction, then that has a further flow on to iron ore production. But bear in mind, if the Chinese really want to have more affordable property, they can't see property construction go backwards, which is another reason why they've got to ultimately, right, I think, stabilise this situation.
Shane, just briefly, we've only got less than a minute to the news, but if the iron ore price has already sharply dropped and the potential, you know, the world is still on alert, as you say, what's the potential for, you know, people will be mostly concerned, I imagine, about the superannuation? How fragile are things, or how much attention should everyone be paying?
Well, I think this is a case of being alert but not alarmed. To put things in context, share markets had a huge run-up. Our share market in Australia had gone up 16 of the last 17 months. So mm-hmm. we would do some sort of correction, which I think we're seeing at the moment. The other aspect, I guess, is that even though the iron ore price has fallen by more than 50%, prices for coal, prices for gas, prices for metals like copper and aluminium are all very, very high. And so there is a bit of an offset or a big offset for Australian resources companies.
Okay.
So I think all of these things suggest that, yes, we could still see more correction in share markets and hence in the value of superannuation funds. But by the same token, I see this really as a correction, okay, not the start of a massive bear market.
Shane, we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Shane Oliver, Chief Economist at AMP Capital.